You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Moving on now to our next segment. It's 10 minutes after 1, which means it's time for our Grow model. It's lunchtime. We don't only eat food, but we feed the Spirit as well. And we're talking about salvation still, the Word of God as our source of nutrition from dusty scrolls. I was saying scrolls, not paper and ink. Paper and ink is an older thing. Quite frankly, it's quite younger than papyrus and scroll. From dusty scrolls in ancient deserts to printed pages that sparked reformations, revolutions, and revivals as we have them today. This Bible isn't just a religious book. No, no, no. It's been a blueprint for justice, a blueprint for what? A scapegoat for wars, and a cornerstone of the law as we have it. In South Africa, we speak of Roman Dutch law, which has the very same scriptures as their cornerstone. And how did this ancient text come to wield such global influence and power? And in a world that's post-truth as we have it today, and the world still is happening, what's that about? Is the Word still shaping nations? This Word that we read, we call the Bible? Or just sitting politely in hotel drawers? That's what we're talking about today, the Word of God. And to help us navigate our way through this conversation is Pastor Stanley Chilembo joining us on the line. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. What are some major historic moments where this Bible we're talking about was a driving force behind societal change?
Yeah, when we talk about the Bible, the Word of God, I should begin by saying that at the center of shaping our societies throughout history, the Bible has been playing that pivotal role. And there are many, many, many instances that we can refer to. Today, I'll just give you about three or four of them.
Right.
If you are to go into history.
Right.
To check into history, how people have used the Bible to shape society. I'll begin with a 16th century experience during the Protestant Reformation.
Right.
You have the man Martin Luther, who in his message emphasized sola scriptura, or scripture alone.
Right.
As he went out to preach his message, he did not only ignite religious reforms, but it also...
I think we've just lost that line to the pastor there for some reason. I do apologize for that. I don't know what could have happened, but let's hope we'll be able to get the pastor back on the line. For some reason, his line just disappeared. I wonder what happened. I do apologize for that. Right, it seems as though our line is temporarily disabled for some reason. I do apologize, but let's try that up again. Let's try the pastor. I'm trying to call him back on the line so that he can continue with marvelous stuff he was talking to us about. And as soon as we can get him back on the line, we'll be able to continue. Mfundisi, are you there?
Yes, yes. I'm so sorry. I think
I suspect the problem was on my side, Mfundisi. Please forgive me. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was explaining that if you look at, you're going to history, just checking on the Protestant Reformation,
right?
The work that Martin Luther did,
right?
They didn't just contribute to religious reforms, but they also contributed to political reforms,
right,
across Europe.
Hmm.
His works contributed to what we call individual rights as well as literacy,
right?
In America itself, if you go to the USA, there's an issue of, we can refer to the issue of civil rights movements,
right,
which were being propagated by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm.
If you check what Martin Luther did, he drew directly from scripture to preach non-violence, justice, and equality. These references were actually captured from the Exodus story, as well as the teaching of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. As he used these scriptures, the world was actually getting, or society was getting that civilization that today we can talk about human rights or civil rights, including when we talk about abolishment of slave trade. Christian, you know, how they influenced the abolishment of slave trade, you can talk about in Britain, you can talk about the Quakers in America, all things that advocated that slave trade must be abolished. These movements were done in the 18th and 19th century. Where did they get the momentum, or where did they get the strength? They were using the word of God. So what I can say is that the word of God, the Bible, has been at the center of shaping or changing our society.
I'm curious. Okay, let me not even go there. Let me not go there. Let's stick with this. Can a book this ancient, like the Bible as we have it today, at least the canonized or the remainder of the canon, can this book, this Bible, as old as it is, I mean, we're talking about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century writings here, and even before, a couple of centuries before Christ, B.C., or at least before the Common Era, as you academics tend to say, can this book, this ancient, this old book, remain relevant in shaping modern policy and modern ethics?
Yeah, one thing I should say is that this ancient book, though written a long time ago, it's absolutely, you know, shaping our society or modern policies and ethics today. The Bible remains relevant to us because its core themes are timeless.
Right.
The first thing we need to know is that the Bible is not only a policy book. It's not just a book that you can use like a constitution, but it's a book that has timeless principles, because it was God's breath. It was given by God himself. What do you see being preached in the Bible? It talks about justice. It talks about compassion, stewardship, human dignity, and accountability. And these issues, they are not only affecting believers, but they affect any form of society, any form of government. And governments that have used the Bible at the center of their leadership, you discover that those, they have always enjoyed freedom, as well as helping people to live a dignified life.
Okay. So you said something that was rather interesting, and you gave examples of Martin Luther, the reformer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you gave an example of Martin Luther, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was one of the biggest leaders of the civil rights movement in the United States. And I found those examples very interesting for me, because some are alleging during the civil rights movement, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used the scriptures sparingly. Not even in his personal life did he use the scriptures. His sermons were not entirely from the scriptures. He would selectively use scriptures to advance the movement that he was trying to advance at the time. And so some are suggesting it was not necessarily a scriptural revolution, but a political revolution that he was leading there, which leads many to arrive at the conclusion that the scriptures are purely used to control people and control their minds. Some are saying, no, it's simply used to liberate people from whatever enchainment and enslavement that they're in at the time. It's selectively used in that fashion. I'd like to know from you, Mfundisi, is the Bible used more today to liberate or used more to control?
Yeah, now this is one thing that is really sparking a lot of debates and tension around the world. When you talk about how do people use the Bible, is it used to liberate people or to control people? The answer that I'll give is that, you know, when you look at the scriptures, the main idea of scriptures is more than just liberating people from common issues. But at the center of the scriptures is to help man find eternal life in God.
Okay.
Because the scriptures were given to correct us, to instruct us, to rebuke us where we are wrong. So, yes, the scriptures can be used to correct us or to control us. Because in scripture, we find principles on how we can live a better life. They help us to do away with many evil issues. But one thing we need to know is that the Bible should not just be used as a tool to control people. It should not be used as a tool to control people, but it should be used as a source of life and guidance. So the Bible continues to inspire societies in terms of justice, in terms of peace building, rehabilitation, and mission work. It empowers marginalized communities with hope, teaches forgiveness, and upholds the dignity of each person. And as we obey the instructions that we find in the Bible, it really helps us to find freedom. Jesus Christ says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This truth that we are talking about is no other than the scriptures that are revealed to us in the Word of God. As we use it, it helps us to, you know, to make right decisions, to know how to live with people. You know, very people, they talk about, let me just use the Bible to control others. It's a sad thing if one gets the Bible to control people. You know, they may have those selfish intentions of just wanting to suppress certain people. The Bible should be used as a word that guides each and every one of us. Both the teacher and the learner are being guided into eternal life.
Okay. You know, Fundis, that's rather interesting. You're saying that because you're a pastor, but people out there who are not pastors appear to have slightly different views. But I'd like to hear from you. When you interact with people, how do they, those non-Christians, the non-Christian people out there, how do they perceive the influence of the Bible in global politics? Fundis, can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Lovely. I also can hear you. I'm sorry about that, Mfundisi. You were making a point. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was talking about non-Christian, especially non-Christian nations. How do they perceive the influence of the Bible? The one thing that I should mention is that, you know, scriptures have been with us for a long time.
Right.
And many societies, they have gained respect. They have gained respect on what scriptures teach. And many of them also, out of curiosity, are trying to search these scriptures to get to know their teachings or their main concept that are being are founded or being promoted in scriptures.
Okay.
And non-Christian nations or people have come to conclude that when you talk about a moral, a foundational moral document,
right,
they look at the Bible as one of those Bibles, documents. Because I'll give an example when you are talking about justice.
Right.
Read the Bible. The Bible clearly explains how justice must be done.
Okay.
If we talk about peace, how do we promote peace in a world?
Okay.
The Bible gives those concepts. It also gives issues that can help people to do away with evil or bad behavior,
right,
and adopt morals that can shape them.
Okay.
There are others, of course, who have come with resistance. They look at scriptures as, you know, something that is being promoted by the Western world, which composes imperialism and all that.
Mm.
But one thing we need to know is that scriptures, they actually help to shape both believers and non-believers. When I say believers, I'm referring to Christians and non-Christians.
Okay.
So what do we do as Christians, us who believe in the Bible? To bridge the gap, Christians must live out the Bible's values with humility, service, and respect.
Right.
Instead of wanting to, to show dominance or judgment, we must go out to show the true value of what the Bible teaches.
Hmm.
By so doing, many of those who have resistance or who have superstitions may learn how to adopt the principles being taught in the Bible,
right,
as relevant issues or relevant principles that can be used in our society today.
Right, right, right. Here's my final question, Mfundisi, and I'll let you go. Is it possible, because some people argue that the Bible is a Western document, as a student of the Bible, as a journalist, I disagree with that. I call it nonsense. But again, I'm a student of the Bible. I'm not even a scholar, not a theologian, I'm just a journalist. So you could correct me. But people hold that the Bible is a Western document. And hence the question, is it possible to separate the Word of God from Western colonial history?
Yeah, let me begin by saying those who say that scriptures or the Bible is a colonial document, may pick it from, you know, as the word of God was being spread in the many parts of the world, it came with missionaries. And these missionaries who came to many parts, we can talk about South Africa and many parts of Africa, those who came with the scriptures, who came as missionaries, they were also coming with the colonial forces. But now, we should not just limit the word of God to colonialism, because colonization is something that happened in a particular stage in our history. But the word of God has been with us from time immemorial. You can go back to the time of the children of Israel when they were moving from Egypt to Canaan. You can see how God was giving scriptures and how the nation of Israel was shaped using scriptures. Come to the time of Jesus. You find that it was the scriptures that were being used to help shape the society. So, do not just limit the word of God to colonialism. Yes, these people who were moving, they were moving with the Bible, but they were spreading the gospel. Do not look at it as a Western thing. So let us separate the Bible from the colonial mind, because while the colonial masters were going out trying to control, the Bible is here to advocate freedom, love, and servant leadership. This is what the Bible teaches us today. And even in our Christianity, when we talk about in our today's world, Christianity is a global faith, not an Eastern faith. Some people may think that, no, this thing, the Bible belongs to the Eastern world, to the Western world, because those who propagated it were more of the coming from the Europe, the European countries. We need to understand that Christianity is actually everywhere. You find it in the South, you find it in Africa, you find it in Latin America, parts of Asia, everywhere. It's a global faith, which we need to know that there are certain people who are not colonized, but are still enjoying the teachings of the Bible. So it is very unfair when people want to attach scriptures to the colonial masters. The word of God is more than what you see, what the colonial masters were doing.
Okay. All right. We're going to leave it there for this. We have an entire week to chew on this topic. Thank you very much for your time and your efforts. Let's do this again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a wonderful day, Father Mfundisi.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.